ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 5, Frustration of the Sacrifice of Daksha. Text number 3, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Is there a chamra for waving flies? This verse has no purport, but we'll read it since it's on the board. I think when that occurs, it's better to just put the next verse on the board so we can study the synonyms of the verse we're going to read or discuss. Tata Atikaya
Atikaya
Tanuba,
Tanuba
Sprishan,
Sprishan
Divam,
Divam
Sahasra,
Sahasra
Bahu,
Bahu
Ganaruk,
Ganaruk
Trisuryadrik,
Trisuryadrik
Karaladamstra,
Karaladamstra
Jvalat Agni,
Jvalat Agni
Murdhaja,
Murdhaja
Kapalamali,
Kapalamali,
Vividha,
Vividha,
Udyata,
Udyata,
Ayudha,
Ayudha,
Tatotikayas Tanuvas Prashan Divam,
Tatotikayas Tanuvas Prashan Divam,
Sahasrabahur Ganaruk Trisuryadrik, Karala Damstra Jvalad Agni Murdaja
Karala Damstra Jvalad Agni Murdaja
Kapala Mali Vividho Yata Yuda
Kapala Mali Vividho Yata Yuda
Tatotikayas Tanubas Prishandivam
Tatotikayas Tanubas Prishandivam
Sahasrabahur Ganaruk Trisuryadrik
Sahasrabahur Ganaruk Trisuryadrik
Karala Damstra Jvalad Agni Murdhaja
Karala Damstra Jvalad Agni Murdhaja
Kapala Mali Vividho Yata Yudha
Kapala Mali Vividho Yata
Yudha Tatotikayas Tanubas Prishandivam
Tatotikayas Tanubas Prishandivam
Sahasra Bahur Ganaruk Trisuryadrik
Sahasra Bahur Ganaruk Trisuryadrik
Karala Damstra Jvalad Agni Murdhaja
Karala Damstra Jvalad Agni Murdhaja
Kapala Mali Vividho Yata Yudha
Kapala Mali Vividho Yata Yudha
Tanuvas Prashandivam
Tatotikaya Tanuvas Prashandivam
Atikaya, a great personality, Virabhadra. Tanuva, with his body, Sprishan, touching, Divam, the sky, Sahasra, a thousand, Bahu, arms. Ganaruk of black color, Tri Suryadrik, as bright as three suns, combined. Karala Damstra,
having very fearful teeth.
And Jvalat Agni,
like burning fire.
Murdaja, having hair on his head. Kapalamali,
garlanded with men's heads.
Vividha,
various kinds.
Udyata,
upraised.
Ayuda,
equipped with weapons.
Translation. A fearful black demon, as high as the sky and as bright as three suns combined, was thereby created. His teeth very fearful, and the hairs on his head like burning fire. He had thousands of arms equipped with various weapons, and he was garlanded with the heads of men. No verse, next purport. When that gigantic demon asked with folded hands, "What shall I do, my lord?" Lord Shiva, who is known as Bhutanath, directly ordered, "Because you are born from my body, you are the chief of all my associates. Therefore, kill Daksha and his soldiers at the sacrifice." Purport. Here is the beginning of competition between Brahma Tejas and Shiva Tejas. Bhrigu Muni had created the Ribhu demigods who had driven away the soldiers of Lord Shiva stationed in the arena by his Brahma Tejas, Brahminical strength. When Lord Shiva heard that his soldiers had been driven away, he created the tall black demon Birabhadra to retaliate. There is sometimes a competition between the mode of goodness and the mode of ignorance. That is the way of material existence. Even when one is situated in the mode of goodness, there is every possibility that this position will be mixed with or attacked by the modes of passion or ignorance. That is the law of material nature. Although pure goodness, or Shuddha-Shattva, is the basic principle in the spiritual world, pure manifestation of goodness is not possible in this material world. Thus, the struggle for existence between different material qualities is always present. This quarrel between Lord Shiva and Bhrigu Muni, centering around Prajapati Daksha, is the practical example of such competition between the different qualitative modes of material nature. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschitadi Sitarane. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is continuing with these verses to tell the history of the Daksha sacrifice and how it was ruined. It was ruined by offense to the pure devotee, Lord Shiva. Although the Brahmins are discussed here as the representatives of the mode of goodness, they were not acting that way. Just like we have sometimes those who claim to be Brahmin by birth or caste, so they put themselves forth as Brahmin, showing Brahminical thread, and they sometimes even control some temple functions. But after the puja or temple ceremony, the so-called Brahmin is found smoking a cigarette, or even worse, unbrahminical. A Brahmin is known by qualities. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhammo Shamas Tapakso Cham. Peace. He is controlling the senses. He is peaceful. He is clean, austere. He has to have these qualities. These are the qualities of a person in goodness. So they were so-called representatives and were abusing the good name, because people will know them that they are Brahmins. They're abusing the good name of the Brahminical class and engaging in this dispute with Lord Shiva, which all began, as you're reading consecutively, third canto, began with the refusal by Prajapati Daksha to render honor to Lord Shiva. Or, as it actually happened in reverse, Lord Shiva did not show any formal obeisances to Daksha when Daksha entered the arena. But that was not required by him. Just as a father is not required when his son comes in his presence, even if the son has become wealthy. It is not that the father has to
taken a natural role and make obeisances before his own son. So Lord Shiva is unquestionably greater than Daksha. Lord Shiva is the controller of the whole annihilation of the universe. And actually he's also at the time of creation of the whole material universe, that is even before the creation of the species by Brahma and the Prajapatis. Lord Shiva acts on the glance of Lord Vishnu to bring the conditioned living entities to a state of wakefulness so that they begin creation out of the Mahatattva. This insult was made unjustly, and now so much reaction is coming. But Srila Prabhupada, he takes the occasion of this narration in this purport to discuss in general how, even within a person, there is a kind of war between the different modes of nature. We are trying to keep the higher consciousness and higher behavior. That is called pure goodness. But in this world, there is always a competition. This is described in the 14th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. That there are three different kinds of modes, sattva, rajas, tamas. But Krishna clearly says that there is always some kind of mixture or tension between them. Sometimes the mode of goodness is overcome by the mode of passion. Sometimes the mode of passion is mixed with the mode of ignorance. Sometimes the mode of ignorance becomes predominant, then another one becomes predominant. So there is this mixture. And that is why we say we are not after being in the mode of goodness. Because in this world, to be in the mode of goodness means sometimes it is mixed with material concepts. But pure goodness, that's Krishna consciousness. So this ascendancy of one mode over another is something that we have to be very careful. Rather, we have to be transcendental to the modes. As Krishna says, Arjuna, rise above these modes, become transcendental, become situated in the self, which is in devotional service. So what are the modes and how do they act practically in Krishna consciousness? There is actually to be no action of the modes in our service. Just like the mode of pure goodness or Krishna consciousness means to do your activity without expecting any fruit or result. Just like we have some service. We have to distribute books for the spiritual master. We have to collect money to keep the temple going. So we do this because it's our duty, because we have accepted that we are the eternal servant of Krishna, and we have taken training under the spiritual master to come to that point of pure devotional service. So if in that surrendered position of our constitutional nature, we are asked to do some service, then the result of that is offered to Krishna. You cannot collect some money and then you keep it. Or that by distributing books, you want the fruit of result that everyone will praise you for that activity. But rather it has to be done because it's duty, without expectation of reward. That duty in the beginning, it may be done without spontaneity. That's called Vaidhi Bhakti. But that same duty, as you perform it, it will come to the stage of love. But even in love, there is this sense of duty that one is so loyal and affectionate to Krishna that he will do whatever Krishna wants him to do without expectation of result. When we say love in the material world, it's actually lust. And so if I show love to you, to a person in different ways, why am I doing that? Because I expect some reciprocation. A man loves a woman. He said, I love you very much. Here I'm giving you a gift. I'm taking you to have a good time. And showing you affection in different ways. That means that he wants her, of course, to reciprocate in sense gratification. He's not doing it for nothing. But actually, when you love Krishna, you simply want to please him. So although this Krishna and the gopis appears to be boy and girl, as in the material world, actually the mood of the gopis is expressed by Lord Chaitanya in the last verse, Ashlishrava Paravatam Punastumam of Shikshastakam. My dear Lord, you can handle me roughly in your embrace, or make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. But you are my Lord unconditionally. This is surrender. And this was exemplified also by Prahlad Maharaj, who served Krishna out of love, out of understanding that this is his duty. We're given a simple example that it is the duty within the body, the duty of the hand to serve the stomach, as well as the other parts of the body. The feet will walk to get the foodstuffs, just like in living in a primitive state, a man, he will not even go to the store, he will, with his hands, he will gather the food, he will pick the fruits, he will walk to get the food, and then he will feed that one part of the body, the stomach. But there's no question of thinking, well, this is not fair. Why are the other parts serving the one part? But that is the constitutional nature. The hand will benefit, will become strong and can operate only when it does that, when it feeds the stomach. Then the food is distributed. You can't eat the food in your finger. Can you do that? Can you put your finger in prasadam and through the fingers it will eat? So it's service. So this is a simple example, but it gives an irrefutable proof of how this is so, even in our own body. That by serving that one stomach, then the stomach is also a servant. It's not that it is God, but it is the servant of the stomach to distribute to all the other parts. That is the way it functions, even in that ordinary reality. But in the absolute, the same thing is there, that we are meant to serve Krishna. That is our duty, as it is the duty of the hand to serve the stomach. So that should not be disturbed. The part and parcel should not think it is not his duty, that he has to get some special, different attention. He will be very pleased and satisfied in his normal constitution. If it's disturbed, if the hand can't serve the stomach, then what is it? There's something wrong. The hand may be paralyzed. Then he can't work. Some disease, then you can't function. But normal healthy condition is that service is going on. So the part and parcel should not disturb by not wanting to do that service to the Lord. And in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, he felt that the Lord actually was disturbing his position. was disturbing the position of the devotee when Lord Nrsingadev said, "My dear Prahlad, you have done such nice service. Now, what do you want for a reward? I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have served me with great difficulty. So what do you want for a benediction?" And Prahlad thought this was a disturbing proposal by Lord Krishna, Nrsingadev. He said, "My dear Lord, did you think that I was serving you for some reciprocation? Please do not talk like that. It is disturbing to me. I served you because it is my duty. I don't want anything." So this was his expression. And we have to think like that. That is serving in pure goodness, without expectation of reward, because it must be done. It is my duty. And without accepting that fruit of result. Detached. So in devotional service, if we feel other motives, that is a threat coming from the modes of nature which want to mix. So the mode of passion is characterized by working hard to get some material result, name, fame, position, sense gratification. But that doesn't mean that in pure goodness we don't work for Krishna. Not working, no, that is the mode of ignorance. But we work for Krishna. Just like even when we're performing devotional service, that does not mean that we stop our devotional activities of chanting and hearing and worshipping the deity, and we bathe and put on tilak. Because these are the activities of goodness, pure goodness. We know also that our work is not ordinary work. It may seem like ordinary work, just like here, devotees have organized a business in Trinidad, and there are other businesses. Some businesses are more successful, some are not as successful, and this is another business. But the difference is this business is being run by devotees who are practicing pure devotional service. Those who are doing this business, they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're hearing about Krishna, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, and they're rendering all the results to Krishna. So the life has to be pure. We rise early, we attend Mangal Arati. These are the activities. Now, if we were to abandon these activities, this could not be acceptable. Shruti, Smriti, Puranani, Pancharatra, Vidimana. Devotional service cannot be done passionately. Even if it's done with enthusiasm, it has to be done according to Shruti and Smriti. You can't invent a kind of devotional service. Just whatever Srila Prabhupada has given us, these activities we have to maintain. It's not our choice that let's do away with this or let's do away with that. Whatever is given has to be maintained. That's pure goodness. So passion is when one becomes so carried away by some goal within this world that he neglects devotional service. And what is the good of that work, that karmic activity? If you give up devotional service or part of devotional service, what is the sense, what is the worth of it? Being carried away in such a manner is called passion. And there's even discussion in this third canto later by Lord Kapila of how devotional service itself may be performed on a lower level, mixed with these modes that is described. If someone is performing devotional service but he is full of anger, that's devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Or if he performs devotional service, but yeah, For example, if he's ignorant of the actual principles, or if he maintains a separatist attitude from the Lord and is actually seeking to become one with Krishna, although doing devotional service. Or if he does devotional service even and does not have the understanding that it is not only Krishna in the temple, but Krishna is in everyone's heart. Krishna is in the heart of the devotees, and Krishna is in the heart of the non-devotees who should be given Krishna prasad or Krishna's mercy. Then this kind of devotional service is mixed. But pure devotional service, we have to be educated in what that is and perform it. So it is possible, because we are jivas, to be covered over. We're marginal position. The beach is the margin between the ocean and the land. So when the tide is high, the beach is covered with water, and sometimes it's uncovered with water. That's marginal. So the jiva, he's subject. Maya is not a small thing. Maya is like the ocean. It is the energy of God, very powerful. You can become overcome unless you keep yourself high and dry, so to speak, away from the influence of that powerful Maya. Daivihi esagunamayi mamamaya diratyaya mamivaye papajyante ayamaitamtaranti. We have to keep ourselves above the modes of nature. And do not let any mundane thing come into Krishna consciousness, into the mind of the devotee. So the mode of passion, we discussed, and the mode of ignorance means laziness. Srila Prabhupada writes in the very Bhagavad Gita purport, he says, a yogi should not eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. Too much. So this is more examples of devotional service being affected by the modes. Or if you perform devotional service, you don't perform devotional service, you're lazy, then you're being affected. And this is always possible, this interaction. Prabhupada says, although pure goodness or Shuddha-sattva is the basic principle in the spiritual world, pure manifestation is not possible in this material world. Thus the struggle for existence between the material qualities is always present. But if we live in the shelter of the temple, in the shelter of the association of the devotees, and don't take shelter of non-devotee association, don't take shelter of prajalpa or non-prasadam, bhoga, then even within this material world, we'll be free of the material world. People, they challenge us. Then are you saying that you're completely perfect? We say, no, we're not perfect. But we're following the perfect. We say there is perfect. Krishna is perfect. Srila Prabhupada is perfect. This service has got no tinge. And if we follow it, then we are perfect. Not that we are nothing much. We're imperfect. But we have been so mercifully given a complete program from morning to night where there is no influence of the modes of nature. I'm becoming familiar with your schedule of your daily activities. So there is a schedule, and there all time is covered on this schedule. When Prabhupada began this ISKCON movement, he introduced things gradually. So at first this schedule was not very prominent. The devotees would rise at different times, 6, 7 o'clock, and go and hear Prabhupada. And there was not many such activities. And actually it was not till around 1970 that
And Prabhupada introduced a schedule, a very complete schedule. In fact, some of it was also sincere. The devotees would stay out late at night doing Harinam, things like that. But then there would be no question of Mangala Arati. But then Prabhupada said that no, we must have a schedule, and that the schedule began with rising early for Mangala Arati. He said this is an auspicious way to begin the day. And then he said all day long, then you have the Bhagavatam class and you take prasadam like this. I was in a temple in Boston, so I wrote, we made a schedule there, and we sent it to Srila Prabhupada, and I said, it's going very nicely. And he wrote back and he said, that this is very good. He said, if you follow this schedule, there will be no room for Maya to enter our camp. Maya is always ready to enter, just like a thief. If you leave a little opening for a thief, the thief, he goes along, and if the car door is open, then he'll steal your car. Of course, sometimes they may try to steal it anyway. But if there's no opening, then he can't do it. But if you leave a little chance, then they'll take it. So Maya is like that. You leave a little bit unlocked or unwatchful, then she'll take right away, take advantage. If during the day, sometimes you're in Maya, or sometimes you talk Pajalpa, then you can become in great difficulty. There's no leeway. There's the Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. There's Krishna, like the sun, and then there's the darkness. And in between, there's no in between. There's the sun, and then there's a borderline where there's the shadow. So we're either in the sun, or if you lean a little into the darkness, you're in darkness. But where there is Krishna, there is no darkness. Therefore, we can say that we are perfect because we're with Krishna. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Where there is Krishna knowledge, there is no nescience. If we want to go back to home, back to Godhead, if we want to be free of the material nature, it has to be 100%. Otherwise, we may come back again with great risk because we had some material desire still. Still some modes of nature to act out. Therefore, Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada says, used to make a statement to his disciples, finish up this business, he would say, using the word business, to finish it up. Just like if you have to clean so many pots in the kitchen. So you have to do them all, you know that. You can't leave four or five behind. But you want to do some other service, so finish up that business. Do it all. Don't just, I've only done two, I've only done three. Finish the business, and then you can do something else. Until you're finished, you can't. So if you're just going to take your time and dawdle along, you'll never be finished your business. So what does Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mean when he says, finish your business? He means all the material desires. Get rid of them all and get going back to home, back to Godhead. But if at the end of life, the time is up, now you have to leave the body, no more time. Oh, I still have some more desires left over. Then you have to come back again, like being left back in the school term. You have to come back again for another term of existence. And if you get left back, you may think, well, all right, I'll get left back. I'll be born and I'll enjoy again a nice human body. Just as I had girlfriends and I made some money in this life, I had some good times. All right, I'll come back. But what if you come back as a dog? What if you come back as an insect? There's no guarantee. So finish up your business, he means. It's very risky. Therefore, we should be vigilant. Whether in our devotional service some other thing is creeping in.
something like passion, or something like ignorance, some slackness, too much thinking of things that are not Krishna conscious, any thinking. That's the way it is. Just like infection. You get a little infection. People have died. They just pick a rose and they get scratched by a thorn. And then it gets worse and it gets worse. You get infection. So if any infection in our pure devotional service may lead to corruption. So we have to be very vigilant. And we have the process by regularly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The dirt is regularly cleaned and regularly hearing. We don't just clean our body once a month. We clean it daily, twice daily, thrice daily. So you have to nityam bhagavata sevaya. You have to go on hearing Bhagavatam, not Bhagavat Saptaha, 7 days, and then it's all finished. But you go on hearing, go on chanting, go on serving, and that way we'll finish our business. Go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So what is it? The schedule now is, what time? It's 6 o'clock.
Quarter to seven
is in it. Now is what, japa? Oh, now is the Guru Pujas? I don't know the schedule. Anyway, the class is over. Do we have any time? Do we have any time for questions?
Yeah.
Are there any? Yes.
You mentioned about Lord Shiva grants him. If you can elaborate on it, according to the scriptures given in Srimad Bhagavatam, what relation does it have with Lord Vishnu casting and becoming in contact with Mati and Nithya and becoming inside of Shiva? I don't know if you can elaborate on that.
There's also something described about that in the Brahma Samhita. I don't thoroughly remember all the descriptions, but my basic understanding is that because it's a material thing, the injection of the souls into matter, Lord Vishnu doesn't do it because he's Narayana Paro Vyaktat, as Shankara says. Lord Vishnu is transcendental to the modes of nature. But he wants to do it. He wants these souls to be injected into matter. So he casts a glance at the matter. Therefore, Prabhupada says that Krishna, he can create just by a glance. Just as a man, he wants to have a child, he conceives through his semen, injected in the womb of the mother, of the wife, who becomes the mother then. So that is done by that sense organ. But Krishna is so potent that he doesn't have to use any gross sense organ. He just has a glance. So that glance is equivalent to procreation. Then, that just his glance even doesn't go directly to the material nature. The material nature is represented by Maya Devi, but Krishna has no direct relationship with her either, not even by glance. It's not that he glances at her directly, and that's like a seminal injection, and then the living entities come out. But that glance then is carried. The shadow of his glance is carried by Lord Shiva, who actually does unite with Parvati. So this is the relation of Shiva to Vishnu in the creation of the living entities. And Lord Vishnu has nothing, no direct contact. And Shiva, because he has contact, then he becomes the lord of the mode of ignorance. Therefore, he's different. As we see here, he's associated with all the demons and ghosts. Not that he is a ghost or demon. Like that. Yes?
How can one become steady in one's practice of devotional service?
Well, he has to make a vow and follow that vow. Even if his will becomes weak, he makes the vow. Example is that, say on Janmashtami we make a vow not to take prasadam, and on Ekadasi we don't take certain foods. So on a day that you vowed to fast, even if you become weak during the day, because of that vow, you don't break it. Then that will help us by resolute dridha brata. Brata means vow, firm vow. Then you make that vow and you won't break it. If you regularly practice. Just like we ask the newcomer to chant japa, we don't say necessarily that he has to chant 16 rounds. He said, oh, I can't do that. Then we say, build up, chant 2 rounds, but then don't ever chant less than 2 rounds. Make a vow to always chant 2 rounds. And then 4, then 8, then 16. Then when you make the vow with 16, then you build to that point, you never come down. Therefore, we should do service that is possible by us, not something that is impossible. Then we can do it always, steadily. Prabhupada quotes a Bengali proverb that whatever the body practices, it can get used to it. He said, when we were walking in the park, he said, I see these men are jogging. He said, but if I tried to jog, I cannot, because I have no practice. He said, but actually if I tried for a few days, he said, at first it would be very difficult, but then I could jog also. So that's according to that saying, that whatever the body becomes accustomed to, it can perform that eventually. We may have thought in the beginning, how could I spend so much time just saying over and over Hare Krishna mantra? So we've practiced and practiced as it was possible, and now it is quite easy. So steady means like that. You establish something that is possible by you, not impossible. And if you want to do more, you try to increase it gradually. But by vow and faithfulness to the order of the spiritual master, there is a standard that we'll never go below. So there's no question of being unsteady. I promise not to have illicit sex. I promise not to take intoxication. I can't fall below that standard in the name of that of being unsteady. Lord Chaitanya has given us things that are possible to do. You just guard your creeper of devotional service. Because I don't associate with a non-devotee, then I won't become unsteady. Therefore, it's a matter of simply practicing it. Steadiness in practice. And steadiness in vow. And steadiness in good association. These sources of devotional service will make us steady. Even if we ourselves are weak and might become unsteady alone, because we're regularly associating with Sukadeva Goswami, Narada Muni, Srila Prabhupada in the books, and associating with good Vaishnav devotees, they'll keep us steady. These things will keep us steady. Don't think that you have to do it yourself only. But you at least keep in the fire of good Krishna consciousness. And those devotees and Lord, the Mahamantra, Bhagavat, they'll make you steady. You just agree to surrender. Our program will make you steady. If a weak man, physically weak man, asks, how can I become strong? If he asks some man who has a physical program, that physical exercise program, that man will say, you just join this program and I will make you strong. You just do some practice every day. So then all you have to do is agree. His program is guaranteed, bona fide. Anyone who does that program, he becomes physically strong. You just have to surrender. If you want to become strong, you have a desire to become strong, then his program will work. He has a guarantee. So this is what Lord Chaitanya has given us. You want to be steady? Then try this program. I guarantee you'll be steady. And it is not so difficult. It is not like some impossible yoga. You just agree and you become steady. But if you don't agree, then you remain nonsense. I think we can end here. Thank you. All glories to Prabhupada.